The head coach of the Toronto Raptors, Dwayne Casey, is in studio. How are you?
Doing great, Bob. Ready to get going. It seems like the season just ended, and now we're getting started all over again.
How was your summer? Good?
It was good. Good and quick, which you want in the coaching profession and in NBA, because if it was long, that means you were probably didn't make the playoffs or were eliminated quick. So it was good.
You spend your summer in the Northwest?
In Seattle.
Yeah.
In Seattle. My family, my wife is from Seattle. And so now Seattle's home for me.
Yeah. You heard the news about their new building that they're going to get. As a Seattle resident, does this excite you, interest you? Are you skeptical? Or?
Well, hopefully. I know the NBA is probably a ways from getting into Seattle. It's a great sports city. Bob, as you know, hopefully that this does mean there may be a possibility of getting an NBA team. Again, that's above my pay grade, but I know the people in Seattle are excited. I know they regret losing the team. So hopefully that does mean that something is good over the horizon for the fans of Seattle.
We are led to believe that an NHL team is going to go there, a hockey team will go there, and probably, mm-hmm. although we don't know this for sure, Lewicki was on with me the other day, and we had a long chat about it, and he said he thought it was possible that when the arena's ready in 20, I think, mm-hmm. that a hockey team will be there already. And I agree.
Mm-hmm.
We have waited a long time for Seattle to kind of get their act together so that they could get a hockey team. But everybody believes it's a good hockey market. Do you think it is.
I think it's a sport, a lot like Toronto, Bob. I think it's a sports city, whether it's hockey. I know the Seahawks are big right now. The Mariners are struggling a little bit, but it's a sports city. And I think if hockey comes into Seattle, they'll support it. Again, I know that the issue, I don't know if what Tim will tell you this or not, but the issue with the Key Arena right now is the traffic. You know, they're going to have to find the infrastructure to get cars in and out of there. I know when I was coaching there, it was always a problem with traffic. And now
it's a downtown arena?
Downtown arena. It's right in the middle of a neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they have that in their plans. But whatever sport goes in there, I think it will be a good city, and they will support it.
All right, let's get to your situation and what's upcoming for you. You're heading west on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Start camp next week.
Mm-hmm.
You're in Victoria to start, right?
Yep. We start out in Victoria. We have, I think, 3 or 4 days in Victoria. And again, every year I've been here, Bob, we've tried to go somewhere in Canada to let everybody know, feel a part of the Raptor brand, the NBA brand, whether it was Halifax, Montreal, Calgary, the last couple of years, Vancouver. So, I think it's just great because the fans there are rabid, and they've become even more rabid Raptor fans. DeMar DeRozan had a basketball camp in Vancouver this summer.
Right.
And it was like 300 or 400 kids there and went up and spoke, and it was great. And I think those are the things we can do, to keep the brand, to keep the Raptor fans interested around the country.
So, this being a national show, I don't doubt there's one or two or five or mm-hmm. maybe a few thousand people from Victoria watching the show or listening to the show today. Mm-hmm. So what opportunity will they have to interact with you and the players?
Well, we have an open practice, open scrimmage on the Thursday night. I don't know exactly the date right now. But that Thursday night is an open practice. From my understanding, it's a sellout already, or not even a sellout. I think it's donations, I think it is, to a charity there in Victoria. So it's something that's a plan there that we have to interact with the fans, sign autographs or whatever it is at that time. I've been past Victoria so many times going from Seattle to Vancouver, but this will be my first time on the island. Yes.
Really? Huh?
Yes. So I'm excited to go there and see that. And even though it's how close it is and many years I lived in Seattle, I never had a chance to go there. So I'm excited to go.
Did you ever, over the course of time, when you and your wife ever drive up to Vancouver?
All the time.
Really?
As a matter of fact, when I was with the Sonics, we would bus sometimes because we figured out by the time we went to the airport, got on the plane, and flew to Vancouver when the Grizzlies were there.
Oh, right.
We would bus up from Seattle.
Quicker.
So it was quicker. So, and that was, and you're talking about another great basketball city was Vancouver. And again, it says something about the country of Canada to say, hey, basketball is great here, it's great in Vancouver, all over the country.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is this the year that the exhibition games, or preseason games, as they like to say, have been reduced to five?
Yes, yes.
So it starts now, right?
It starts this year. And the reasoning behind that, Bob, is to make sure that the players have more rest. The season is lengthened a little bit, maybe a couple of weeks or a week, where
spread the games out,
and the recovery time is better. And I think it's going to be great for players, even though it crunches us as far as training camp is concerned. As you remember, yeah, the whole month of October used to be training camp.
Right.
You could go as long as you want to. Now we're reduced to two practices a day, but the second practice can't be contact. And so we have a lot of restrictions, whereas in the old days, you would go and you could go the whole month, yeah, twice a day. And it, again, it's better for the players, and it does help the recovery and the time that they can get rehab and rest up between games.
Yeah, and I mean, you got basically a veteran group. Basically, not an old group, mm-hmm, but a veteran group. Guys have been through it before. Mm-hmm. Most of your guys are coming back. So there's not a whole lot of refreshing, not a whole lot of things that are going to be problematic for you. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a young team, mm-hmm, if you've got five or six rookies, mm-hmm, coming in, or if you've got young players coming in from a free agency or whatever, mm-hmm, boy, you got to work fast, huh?
And, Bob, we do. We're our second unit, that's our challenge this year for us, you know, is to establish a young second unit, which means more minutes for DeLon Wright, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, Jakob Poeltl, all those guys, OG Anunoby, once he gets healthy, our draft pick this year. So we've got to make sure we develop a playing personality with that second group. So this is going to be a challenge for our veteran guys, Kyle, DeMar, Serge, Jonas, CJ Miles. You know, they'll figure things out pretty quick. But that second unit is going to be our challenge. And hopefully during the exhibition, those guys can get some big minutes. Bruno Caboclo will get some big minutes in exhibition calls. So again, like you said, with a shorter amount of training camp, it's going to be important to get those guys some real minutes, some real NBA minutes before we hit the real thing in October.
Do you hate this idea of a shorter preseason schedule, a shorter training
this year,
camp?
This year, I would say I wish I had a few more exhibition, maybe a week. Maybe a couple more exhibition games, because usually you let your young players play as much as possible,
yeah,
the first two or three games, and then your vets will play the last couple of games. Where this year, it's going to be, you know, a challenge. I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it's a challenge to make sure we get that rhythm, get that unit, get that team chemistry with that young group, second unit. We got some excellent, young, talented players, but again, it's just going to take time for them to get that NBA experience.
Do you go down to Vegas for summer league?
Sure do.
What did you see there that you like? Or let me ask you this, mm-hmm, way. Mm-hmm. Give me two or three guys that you think have a chance to really take a step up the ladder.
Well, one, Norm Powell. I think he's come in and he saved us last year in Milwaukee series. He came in, played big minutes. He's a tough kid. He's mature. He's hungry. DeLon Wright is another young man that really is his basketball IQ. He's a bright kid, really played well this summer. And then also, too, Fred VanVleet. He's another kid that we've got quite a few young guys that are going to – their time is coming as far as stepping up. Jakob Poeltl, another young kid that played well. Bruno Caboclo didn't play this summer in summer league, but his shooting has really improved. I mean, his other parts of the game, he's learning as he goes. But one big step he's made is his three-point shooting.
When does he break out?
Well, again, he's going to get an opportunity this year just because, again, we've got to find two or three guys in that young group to get major minutes. And, again, it may be something that's very fluid with those guys with the second unit. But Bruno, as far as his three-point shooting, he's one of our better three-point shooters right now. Hopefully this year, that's my goal, because he's going to get an opportunity. All those guys are going to have an opportunity to show what they can do to help gel and mix in with Kyle and DeMar, with Serge, to develop a second unit.
All right, let me get to what is really the fundamental question that I've been itching to ask you all summer, and that is, at the end of last season, Masai sort of alluded to a change in coaching philosophy with this team.
Mm-hmm.
That the program that you guys had been on wasn't a program that ultimately would achieve the desired effect, which is a championship, and maybe there had to be some tweaking to it. Maybe the game has gone more to three-point shooting. Maybe we got to address that. Maybe we play a little bit more run-and-gun offense, focus on defense always, but maybe not make that the stallmark of it. So are we going to see that?
Well, again, the game has changed, Bob. You know, I would say over the last 45 years, the game is going to a three-point shooting, an analytical three, the shot spectrum or get to the rim or the three-point shot game. And again, our job as a coaching staff is to make sure we put our players in the best position to be successful. You know, we work on the three-point shot. Excuse me. We work on that part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of philosophy we have. But at the end of the day, it's a make or break, make or miss league. That's going to be another emphasis. I would say that our number one charge for our team this year is going to be passing the basketball, moving the basketball where they don't know where DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry is, and make sure they have the spacing. As far as that's concerned, I think so much DeMar's strength is his one-on-one game. He's one of the best in the history of the league of a one-on-one player. Now, every summer he works to get out to the three-point line. He's got the green light to shoot. We encourage him to shoot the three. But at the end of the day, he gets the old-fashioned way, gets to the paint, gets to the rim, and gets to the free throw line. In the playoffs is where the game changes. The first thing teams do in the playoffs is take away the mid-range game. So our emphasis this year is going to be to develop a style of play offensively that fits the playoffs, that we can that will carry and travel throughout the playoffs. Three-point shooting game. Are we going to be the next Golden State? I think there's one Golden State. We still have to put DeMar DeRozan and Jonas Valanciunas in the best position to be successful. Again, we want to shoot the three. That's why we brought C.J. Miles in. Norm Powell has developed his three-point shooting. So all those guys have the green light to do it. So that's going to be an emphasis to start the camp to make sure we develop that for the playoffs.
Okay, I don't want to get too technical, but ask me. Let me ask you a couple of things.
All right.
I like Valanciunas, so don't be misled by the direction of this questioning. But the way you have used him a lot of high screens, when he is posting and the ball goes down to him, as with most big guys, they get it, they shoot it.
Right.
He may put it on the floor a couple times, he may make a move, but it's usually not being kicked back outside.
Right.
How do you get him to do that? Because if you want perimeter ball movement, ball's got to go inside sometimes, but then it's got to go right back out.
No question. And that's something that Jonas is learning to do, is to kick the ball out, to pass from the low post position. But again, I will say this, Bob, you mentioned it yourself. The game is changing from a post-up game by the big guys to one, and it goes into JV's strength, is rolling to the bucket, catching and finishing. He's one of the best offensive rebounders in the game. Now, a lot of players don't want to hear that because it doesn't sound like, you know, you're calling my play. But again, it's still effective if him rolling to the bucket and finishing. Lucas Nogueira is probably one of our best guys at catching it, rolling to the bucket, making a play from there. I think that's the next trend and evolution of the NBA, is your big guy's got to be an excellent passer. He's got to have good hands, which fits Jonas and also Lucas and Jakob Poeltl. And so that is another change you probably see. Now, will JV get post-ups? Yes. We're not going to go totally away from post-ups, but probably less post-ups for he and DeMar, where we have to make sure we're getting the efficient shots that we want to take and play the more of the analytical game as much as possible, where we'll travel into the playoffs.
All right, here's one you won't like.
Okay, all right.
Who won the Boston-Cleveland trade? And I ask you this because, look, you're smiling. I ask you this because this doesn't happen very often when your two primary rivals in your division, forget conference, in your division, make a big deal.
Right. No question.
This almost never happens.
It never. And you had and the question I get all the time, I thought she was going to ask about Boston. I think our record against Boston's last 4 years is 15-3 or something like that. It's been pretty good. Them in Cleveland, I would say people can't sleep on Milwaukee. I think at the end of the day, again, I'm more worried about the Toronto Raptors, but I think it's a wash. I think Cleveland adding Jay Crowder, getting that draft pick, a healthy Isaiah Thomas is lethal. And then Kyrie Irving, a fresh, rejuvenated, a motivated Kyrie Irving, getting his own team, so to speak, is a good thing for Boston. So I think both teams benefited, and I think that's the way you describe a good trade.
I'm not buying that.
Okay.
So I'm going to rephrase the question until I get an answer. Okay. I'm not going to ask you which team got the better player, because that's a hard one to figure out. Which team actually got a guy that you think can help them more? We look at Cleveland, everybody focuses on the big guy, and everybody else is kind of a support piece. Is Isaiah Thomas going to be a support piece for him? Or is Isaiah Thomas going to be an offensive weapon, a shooter?
Well, that's the chemistry piece we're talking about with Cleveland. With Cleveland, with Isaiah Thomas, I think the connection that he and LeBron James has together will be a big question mark. How well they fit, how quickly they fit. Our job is to make sure we try to defend both of them. And then with Boston is how well Kyrie Irving fits in a more of a system, whereas Cleveland, it was more of an ISO, more of a pick and roll system.
True.
Whereas Boston's more of a ball movement. They run the heck out of the flex offense in different ways. So how he fits into that, and I'm sure as talented he is and as smart as Kyrie Irving is, he will fit in, he'll find a way. But our challenge is to make sure we get to that point where we have an opportunity to knock them off the hill, because everybody's got those two teams picked. They're rarely talking about the Raptors. So our job is, as a team, is to say, hey, put that chip on our shoulder. Let's go and knock them off and make sure we're relevant and we're ready to compete for that conference championship.
You mentioned Milwaukee, and I don't want to let that slide. Mm-hmm. We all saw them last year, and we're all impressed. They got one really great young player who you figure is going to get better as time goes on. Mm-hmm. Do they have enough pieces, in your opinion, to contend?
Antetokounmpo himself is a one-man wrecking crew.
He's a great player.
He is a great player. He's gotten better over the summer. I'd say maturity is going to be their biggest challenge. Are they ready? Last year, they made it to the playoffs. That was a big step for their program. But again, finding the answer for him and figuring out a way to defend him is going to be our challenge. But I would say they're ready and prime, ready to try to take that next step.
Well, we wish you a successful season. I know we'll have a chance to chat over the course of the season. You don't get to come in here very often, so we're glad to have you, and nice to see you. Yeah. And have a good year.
Thank you, Bob.
And thanks a lot for stopping by. We appreciate it greatly.
Thank you so much. Thank you, buddy.